Arizona Town Council meeting will come to order. All members of the council are present, and David is remote. Y'all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to approve the agenda. We have a motion from Storm, we have a second from Chris. Discussion on the motion to approve. All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? I guess motion carries 7-0. Kevin, is there any public comment?
There are. The first one is Autumn Cook.
Do I have to stand and talk right here?
Just right here at the stand.
And do you?
Does she have a microphone?
Does she have a microphone? Does she have a microphone?
Yeah, please let us know before you begin speaking which item number you're speaking.
Oh, it's the Water Commission. Okay, am I okay to speak? Good evening, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Autumn Cook, and I've worked and/or lived in Harpers Ferry Ball River community for the last 22 years, and I intended on living here the remainder of my life. I have a concern about the Water Commission report in regards to transparency of information and about the lack of adequate communication about water service with constituents. First and foremost, I believe the moratorium should be announced if water service was unavailable to properties in this community. I would have never embarked on a 2.5-year journey to acquire a piece of property on Stevenson Street in Bolivar if water service was unavailable and publicly announced as such. Both the builder I hired and I have requested a letter of water availability or a written denial of said availability from the town's public works administrator. We have been trying to get a formal answer since February 10th. We've been given verbal denial citing pressure, capacity, and service line size, but nothing has been provided in writing. Options presented to me verbally by the town are not viable solutions and are beyond financially burdensome to me. Given that my neighbor's water meter is half on my property and that another neighbor is certain of water being in the house previously on the property, I find a denial of water service to be untenable. Thus, I request forthwith a written response of either water availability or denial with adequate explanation. To close, as a public servant for over 20 years, I believe in respect to constituents, timely responses, and transparency. I question whether the Corporation of Harpers Ferry upholds the same tenets. Twice during my situation, Harpers Ferry Town employees have inappropriately passive-aggressive statements to me. I find the response to my inquiries about water service to be unprofessional and disrespectful. Please do better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else, Kevin? Okay.
Yes. Second person is Lynn Petroconis.
Regarding agenda item 5B1, the Dark Skies Ordinance, speaking on my own behalf. I'm going to thank the Dark Sky Committee for its many hours of effort and dedication to our community and the environment. I am all for sensitivity to our neighbors' safety and enjoyment of the nighttime experience here. I was surprised to read this proposed policy, however, as I was expecting the town to provide guidance to residents around sensitive lighting. This lengthy packet of technical regulations seems out of balance with our existing building standards. I have a few concerns, and I apologize if I misunderstand the ordinance because it's very difficult for me to comprehend as a layperson. It looks to me like the regulations apply to new construction, permitted renovations, and new lighting on existing properties, so this could apply to any resident at some point in time. Honestly, the regulations are so technical that they just scare me because I'm not a scientist and I don't know how to understand at what point I may be out of compliance with this proposed ordinance. I'm concerned that a lighting plan that's required with all permit applications must be approved by the compliance officer, the Planning Commission, and the Dark Skies Committee, making it now the most arduous aspect of the permit process. I'm concerned that as a layperson, I on my own would never be able to create a lighting plan that would meet these specifications. It would require me to hire a consultant for that portion of the application, even if the rest of my project did not. I am concerned that this lighting plan requirement will both increase the cost of getting a permit and increase the total time before a permit is issued. I'm also concerned about the enforcement penalties when, again, I'm not a scientist and would not have a way of knowing if my lights have too many lumens per square foot until I received a notice from the compliance officer that I'm about to be fined. The size of the penalties seems out of proportion with typical town practice. So I'm just asking that the town council slow down and take ample time to consider this proposal and each of its requirements more carefully, and definitely do not approve it as is tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Kevin?
Okay, Zach Morse.
Good evening, council. I'm here for agenda item 3, just community announcements. Since Parks and Rec is not on there, I just wanted to give a shout out. We have a poster in the room that the 3rd annual Harpeth Ferry Film Festival will be on Saturday, March 21st. We've put together over 15 independent short films. It's only one day this time as opposed to 2 days that we've done the last 2 years. There's a QR code on the posters to sign up for tickets, and we'll have concessions for sale. This is at Mather Training Center again, so it's a great venue, and we thank the Park Service for letting us do that. Thank you.
Good. Thank you,
Zach. I like the posters a lot more this year.
Kevin, is that it?
That's all.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Mayor's announcement. The only thing I have, and I think I may have mentioned this last meeting, or maybe I didn't, I can't remember. There's a nice, I have a copy of a press release from Senator Capito that she released on February 26 out of her office. Very well done, and she discusses the CDS, the congressionally directed spending that we received from the senator regarding a little over $5 million from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for our aged system that we have. And I just want to give a shout out and a thank you, Senator Capito, if you're listening to this meeting, for her support, longstanding support for Harpers Ferry. And this is evidence of that. And this is going to go a great way in correcting a lot of the issues that we have in our compromised system. Even with this, we're still not at the end of the line. Debbie and a few others are working very hard to secure some additional CDSs. We just submitted one this week or last week, Debbie?
Last week.
Yeah, Congressman Riley Moore requested additional monies in the neighborhood of about $3 million. And then hopefully that may conclude, but who knows. So this is a good step, very grateful for the support from Senator Capito. Community, Marl's not here. Superintendent?
Good evening, Council. I'd like to start tonight by thanking the Harpers Ferry Police Department for the mutual aid assist on Sunday, March 1st, 2026, involving a disorderly person at the Park Visitor Center. Park staff and I are grateful for your rapid response and for securing the individual until county officers and our rangers arrived on scene. Very much appreciated. This Wednesday, I look forward to seeing Mayor Vaughn and Councilmember Petrikonis at the Harpers Ferry Parking Summit. This is hosted by the park and the National Park Conservation Association. Thank you both for agreeing to attend. We will have good representation from local leaders at the summit, and I hope it will be an enlightening and productive conversation. I am very pleased to announce that last week we were approved to post 2 new job announcements at the park. This is the first time in over a year that I have been able to run an announcement for a permanent position. So this is very good news. It seems like there is a different approach happening right now at the department, and we may see, I hope, more and more hiring back of staff in FY26. I'm also very happy to announce that last week the park and the Harpers Ferry Park Association announced our slate of programs to commemorate America's 250th anniversary. I encourage everyone to gather friends and family and to join us for one or all of these signature events. Most are free with park admission. Registration is helpful, especially where the association is putting the program on. And we have two events coming up next month. One is Preserving the Past, a curator's collection. This is going to be an interesting three-hour event on Friday down at the John Brown Museum on the second floor. It's one of the rare opportunities when the public will be able to see some things from the museum collection that do not normally go on display, right? And have an opportunity to speak with park curators about the museum collection, which holds more than 1 million items in it at the park. And then on the 25th, did I say that was Friday, April 24th for the curator? And the next day on Saturday, April 25th, Virginia's Island, and then later at the Allies Room, Bluebells in Bloom, celebrating America's natural heritage, where we'll be taking ranger-led walk through the bluebells on Virginia's Island. And then later, joining author Nancy Lawson as she illustrates how you can use native plants to add beauty and create habitat in your own backyard. So those are my updates.
Thank you. Where can we find that schedule?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I have copies right here. May I present? So please feel free to pass these along to whomever.
Thank you. Superintendent, what were the two FTEs fill?
The two FTEs that are currently being the announcements are on USA Jobs right now. It's for our permanent facility manager and for a permanent volunteer and parks coordinator. That would be the person who handle all of our volunteer activities in the park, which we've unfortunately not been able to run at the level that I would really like to see volunteer activities take place in the park for quite some time.
Thank you. Any other questions for the superintendent?
I was going to ask, I noticed the one of the buses going by on Zachary Taylor. Is that going to be charged at Zachary Taylor where the your maintenance yard is? I'm just curious, if I see it, is that going to be frequent or?
So I can give you an update on the entire situation with the EV buses.
Okay.
That would be helpful. Let me give you a little context. So, back in November, we took delivery of 6 new EV buses. We still have our diesel fleet, which is good because the EV buses are rather complex machines compared to the diesel buses. Up until very recently, let me back up. In order to charge the EV buses, we need to upgrade our bus garage, which you may have noticed is underway right now, which is why it's a construction mess by the entrance fee booth. That project is going to be ongoing until probably January of next year. So we do not have a way to effectively charge all 6 buses at once right now. So our friends next door and our federal friends next door at CBP had graciously agreed to allow us to charge the buses over there. Wonderful, very neighborly of them. Unfortunately, as you know, they do not have a congressional appropriation at the moment. So until such time as they have a congressional appropriation, I am loath to have them to spend money on our buses, if that makes sense. So what I have asked our folks to do is to simply use our new, we have a mobile charger, but it can only do one bus a day, basically. So what we're gonna have to do for a while until CBP is back up and running is that we're gonna have to be sort of mixing and matching our EV buses and our old diesel buses to provide the shuttle bus service. So you may see different buses on different days, and that's why.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Superintendent. Kevin, I passed over you. Did you have any?
I don't.
Okay.
Oh, David.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry.
David, you wanted to have the floor now.
Unmute yourself.
Oh, we can't hear you, David. I think you're muted.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Now we can.
Sorry about that. I wanted to make mention of Jimmy Williams. He passed away on February 10th. His funeral was two Saturdays ago that I attended. And he was he worked at the sewer plant for the PSD for decades. And I don't know if people know him, but he served our community quietly and behind the scenes, and I kind of want to bring him forward a little bit. When I first moved to Harper's Ferry in the mid-90s, my father-in-law was on the PSD, and Heidi and I lived here for a while, then we moved to Shepherdstown, actually, because we had a rental up there. And he generously offered his truck without even knowing who we were. I could have been, and I was a 20-something guy, so you know, you don't trust those guys with vehicles, I don't think. But that's the kind of guy he was. Really nice, really willing to help, really willing to, you know, lend a hand. So just want to honor him and speak about what he's done for our town, and hoping that people can appreciate that, what he did for us.
Thank you, David. I knew Jimmy well, and he was a big asset to the town, so sorry to hear that. Anything else? Anybody else? Council? Other than my councilman? Okay. Kevin, approval of minutes on February 9?
I don't have those for you all tonight.
Okay. Anything at all? Special on February? Okay, that's fine. HLC, I think you have a report to read, Kev?
Yeah. What did I do with it? This is from Wayne Bishop. He said the Landmarks Committee, Historic Landmarks Committee, will review and establish a priority list of projects and initiatives based on budget requests submitted to the town. We also expect several building permit applications in the coming months that will require extensive review. The Landmarks Commission requests that the clerk, recorder, or office administrator place our minutes in the town council packets each month to improve communications. And I've not been receiving those. I don't know if anyone else has.
Thank you. Thank you, Kip. 5B, discussion action regarding dark skies ordinance. Who's got that? Go ahead, Kelly.
Good evening. Just wanted to give you an update where we are. You did receive a new edition of the draft, and the only change that I made was on page 2, and that was under item D, and it was number 3. And the only thing that we added was to give you guys a total lumens of 25 lumens per square foot. And to highlight on this, I know this seems very complicated, but basically all this is the new site lighting is basically just listing the lights that are on the outside of your house and the total lumens. The second chart on the way down is something that the OCO would take care of and make sure that it falls in line with the maximum number of lumens per square foot. And so we would have the square footage of the lot as well. So I don't know if that brings any simplicity to that. So basically it would just be a listing of the outdoor lights and how many lumens each has, and then they would come to a total. I did meet with the code enforcement officer. I believe that's his new title or his coming new title. He was very well on board with the ordinance. He went through the ordinance with me. He's very happy with the level of responsibility that he would have, that would be investigating complaints as they come in. We discussed what that would look like, and he was happy with that. He was also okay with the way that we've proposed to have a lighting plan for a new build. So got really nothing but positive feedback from the code enforcement officer when I met with him. Again, I want to emphasize that a majority of this ordinance is pertaining to new builds or builds with extensive lighting replacement. And as we stand now, it's been brought up that when we did our walks through town, we looked at and we saw very few problems where we saw any lighting problems at all. So the impact that this is going to have on our current residents is only going to be when they're putting in new builds or there's a complaint filed. So I just wanted to bring that forward. So it seems like a lot in this ordinance, but that is the aim, is to keep the lighting the way we have it now and prevent any brighter lighting from coming forth. We did put in a request for a budget request for a brochure. So if you decide to put forth or if you decide to adopt this lighting ordinance, we wanted to be on top of that to be able to prepare a brochure for community members that would explain some of the ordinance in more simpler terms and to let them know more directly what their responsibilities would be and how the ordinance is enforced. We also would like to cover things like bulbs out. Like, what do you do if there's a bulb out? So we would encourage you to take a look at our recommendations that we made for being able to report bulbs out. Any questions for me?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment, Councilor. In addition to Lynn's comment, we did receive, and you should have received, a email from Patrick Tierney expressing some thoughts and a recommendation. So I draw your attention to that as maybe an aid to where we go tonight with Karen.
Yeah, I'll speak and say the feedback that we got recently does match feedback that we got going into the process and really did inform how we put the ordinance together. And we did try to put it together in a way that there were things that were polarizing, especially things around penalties and about measures that would require people to change out their lights and that kind of thing. So we made selections that we believe hit a point where this is something that would be meaningful, especially at keeping the lighting level where it is. I don't think anybody believes we currently have a problem, but especially as there's new development, to keep it from becoming that way. And it is, in the survey and all the feedback, it was a strong desire about from pretty much the vast majority that people do want to retain the lighting in a low level, but also have safety. It's when you get into the details of how that's done that you start to get polarization. And I feel like we did a pretty good job of finding a good middle point to it, but if there are specific things people are concerned about, we can always revise.
Jesse, you had a thought?
I do. You know, the night sky, our night sky, is a shared natural resource, and it's one of those things you don't miss until it's gone. And once you start missing it, you know, it's really hard to get it back. And I think it's our job as a council to protect that shared resource for everyone and to ensure that everyone has equal access to it. You know, the proposed ordinance is a good way to do that. The ordinance has been modeled on those that are found all over the country and even in around the world now. And it has been detuned based on public feedback to remove some of the more onerous rules that people in other communities do deal with. You know, this ordinance is taking those away. And, you know, in short, you know, this is a community-friendly way to protect the shared natural resource of our night sky. And it's a resource we are seeing eroded away. You know, you can go up on Putnam Street now and see the new homes there and their softball-sized outdoor string lights, which are actually worth seeing. They're enormous. And, you know, now is the time to stop that erosion that we're seeing before it is a problem. You know, after these other 55 buildable lots are built, you know, it's going to be really hard to dial this back. If we put this in now, you know, it doesn't change any of our lives, but it does ensure that our way of life continues on in the future. That is all.
Chris?
You know, I talked with Karen earlier today and about some of my concerns. I am on board with the concepts, the basic concepts. I also understand that some of the technical things are probably more important for the CEO to be able to judge, you know, have judgeable levels of light to go. I think I shared the concern, almost an alarm, when I looked over part seven, which was the light plan for new construction or I guess complete overhauls or renovations. And my fear was, oh my God, I would have to hire a consultant from God knows where in a town where we can barely get a roofer to come in. I think for my support for the ordinance, that would need to be worked. If it is as you're describing, basically a list of lights, and maybe take those lights through some kind of, or that list that maybe could be provided by town hall for a simple approval, and make that ordinance a little less scary, especially in a town where we're, you know, we already have this great concern about why aren't people moving here. We definitely want to protect our historical district. We want to protect our night skies, but we also want to make a town that's user friendly and easy to live by the codes we have. So I think that is my main concern with the ordinance.
You got a recommendation?
Well, you know, I think the next step, if we passed it as would be tonight, would be to go maybe to ORC for formatting and review of state code and anything to see if there would be conflict in it. But I think before we could do that, I'd prefer to send it back to the folks who have studied this and have invested so much time and work in it, which I greatly appreciate, by the way, and look at least at that number seven, possibly some of the others. Where is the technical language really needed for the CEO? Where is it maybe sounding more onerous than it truly needs to be or is?
Okay.
That would be my recommendation.
Would it be helpful, like it is part of the plan to have materials in the brochure, but if there were like a diagram or something that could show in a way that boils down the technical language to something that is simple, if that were in there?
I think those kind of things, you know, what you're describing for the residents, the present residents and business owners, is great. I think it would be highly useful, highly advantageous for everyone. But I think part seven, just really needs to be reworked beyond a brochure.
I guess I'm getting at, are there specific things in seven, or is it a matter of presenting the information in a way that will make it easy for people to understand and comply with it?
Well, again, and it wasn't just me. I asked two people to read this over, and is this as complicated as it sounds to me, admittedly without much understanding of what a candlefoot, some of those terms really translate into. And they agreed with me that it sounded like something that the Park Service would be bringing in someone from Connecticut to serve as a consultant for the lights all over the district. It was scary. So I guess I'm wondering if the language for a town ordinance needs to be or is much more complicated than it needs to be. If it's truly, you know, as Karen expressed, a list of lighting and you know, maybe a quick review of that. So
I think that was a concern, Chris, that Lynn brought up on hers. Let me ask this: is there any utility in following through what Patrick recommended?
Specifically, which recommendation?
His last sentence was
to make it voluntary, wasn't it?
No. Mm-hmm. Sending it to Landmarks and Planning Commission. Was his last.
I don't think so. I think that's just going to add to the complexity, you know. And I also, you know, don't think that this is not just about today. This is about 25 years in the future, and it should not be a voluntary thing, as what I suggested. You know, it should be, a requirement. And you know, for the new builds and stuff, it's important to remember that this is not new territory for builders. You know, they deal with this all the time. And so for the people coming in wanting to build homes, their builders are not going to have a problem meeting these requirements. These are standard requirements. And you know, the current residents, you know, maybe it could be worded more friendly. I understand it all very well, but I realize that that may not be universal. But at the same time, I think we can cross that bridge with educational materials. You know, the Dark Sky International provides a lot of information that can be reused here, as far as, you know, finding and identifying lights and sourcing them and things like that. And the maths involved, you know, in a lot of our other ordinances, we push all that, those complexities off on a third party. But they're still there. And in this case, we're doing this through our code enforcement officer. We're doing all this internally. So having all these calculations and stuff be visible, you know, may not be ideal, but it is a direct side effect of being, taking care of our own things internally as opposed to third parties performing it.
All right. Any suggestions, Storm?
I was going to say, I don't think there is much point in sending it anywhere else. We've been, we have the knowledge base, gone down really every corner of it. If it's desired to go in a different direction, I think the committee would be able to do that. So I feel that if on the whole, it's just a few things that need to be tweaked, that can be done. But laying out, and this was something we've discussed extensively, was what standards do you use if they're too loose, and they would lose their meaning entirely, especially with new builds. So, but I feel confident that the committee would be able to come up with a method of retooling it, whether it's language, simplifying diagrams that anyone would be able to look at it and understand it better and follow through.
Just for my clarification, would that be, the diagram again, following through, would that be something that ORC would provide as part of their review, or
no? It would need to be the committee that would need to devise those methods.
David?
Yeah, I share the concern about the complexity there, because I think I deal in regulations for my life, like I can figure it out, but I think for a lot of people, like Chris is saying, it is kind of, it's got some complexity. I think there's a way to simplify it, and I'd just suggest this because I don't know who's going to take this next, but is that the requirement is a drawing showing me where the lights are and the specs on the light, and then to me, don't make the applicant do the calculations and do this. Hand it over to Dark Skies Committee, they look it up, and they do the complex work. And they, as part of their approval, but they do it quickly. So it's like, here's my outline. You know, we ask people to draw where they're putting their new structure. So this is like, draw for me where you're putting these lights. Is it facing down? tell me about the light. We can make a table for them that's really straightforward. I feel like it's possible to do this, keep the sense of like union, make it required, but let's make it simple so we can just guide them through it. Because, and then maybe over time, this is the education part, maybe in 3-5 years, people get it. And, you know, that Dark Skies Committee doesn't have to be the technical resource, but I think one way to do this is to use the Dark Skies Committee as a technical resource in the permitting process, in the application process. So.
Storm.
Yeah, those are good suggestions. And that reminded me that there was concern about needing approval from a lot of different bodies. In fact, we wrote in the different bodies because we didn't know, and we don't know, which one of them is going to be responsible for this. So the idea wasn't that it was going to need to be get approved by each of them. Now, I haven't found the wording here, but that the phrase is as appropriate, meaning that if it is assigned to Dark Skies, if Dark Skies continues to exist after this, because right now it just makes recommendations and then it rolls up, that would be another question. Or if it goes to planning, or if it goes to, we don't know where at this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that is, whoever it is, I think that would be useful.
Yes?
I like the idea of making the Dark Sky Committee a permanent standing thing. It, you know, this is the whole topic that we're on right now is important. It's going to become more important as time passes. And making, as David said, making Dark Skies Committee a technical resource for the in the permitting process. I mean, we've got the experts on hand, we've got the educated folks. I like that idea a lot. And deal, you know, that way it's just one body. It's not a whole bunch of people.
Chris?
I'm all for making it a permanent committee. I do have concerns about adding another layer of approval going to another committee, something that we've tried in the past to get away from. For one thing, our little town frequently can't come up with quorums with the bodies that are already have to meet. I think the biggest thing is the CEO needs to be able to understand the technical stuff and to be able to judge. The Dark Sky Committee, I believe, would be a great resource for him to go to with specific questions and for resources. So, that would be my.
So that would make Kevin, or the code enforcement officer, that would make him the. There would be no additional body. It would just be Kevin or the code enforcement. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. And the Dark Skies Committee would be available for him to question if he needed.
Which is really true for HLC now as well. You know, if a permit comes through and it's pretty straightforward and he knows that it's in lines with our ordinances, he's the proper authority. But he can always go to HLC with, you know, what do you think about this roof? Is this within our guidelines?
So he can use the if he's at an impasse, he could, in this example, he can use HLC and take the heat off the permit requester to give him, you know, so he's not going to feel undue pressure to sign off on something because he can go to HLC and get input and guidance.
Yeah, okay. Of course, if it gets too far out, involving a variance or something, that's when BZA, when it does have to go to BZA.
Kevin, did David have something? David,
yeah.
are you okay?
No, good ideas. I like what we're doing, actually. I was going to say something, but I think you guys are kind of hitting it. Chris has a good idea of maybe simplify it and make the OCO, CEO. Have a hard time calling him CEO.
I know, I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Above the mayor, I don't know. But anyway.
Christian.
I want to say a few things. This is complex, and I just got this last week. This is a lot, and the residents didn't even get it until maybe Thursday. And I don't think they really know exactly what this is and haven't read it. I still think there's an educational period still yet to go through before we create an ordinance of this complexity and size. I want buy-in from the town, and historically this town is very much into dark skies. With our lighting system in our town, with the radial wave lights, this town sued the power company to retain our lights and won. And well, they had an agreement and it worked out a really good agreement, and we're going to continue to stay with those lights. Because they're probably the number one light source. It could have been a problem if we had the what they were going to use in the day, sodiums, or, and even today it's these high-powered LEDs. But I think we have to be, we're throwing a lot on a simple town, and I think we don't want resistance. We want people to go along with it. But I think there's a lot of, there'll be a lot of resistance. And I really have a problem with this penalty stuff. I mean, it was scary. I've never seen anything quite like that to go at residents.
What's your suggested course of action, Christian?
I'm suggesting we still need to have some hearings or more public interaction. And I do think we need to have this softened. It appears harsh to me. We can change this later. We can make it stronger later. But I say let's do baby steps before we're running the marathon now. We're up to the marathon where I think, you know, we really are walking stage. And I just think it's going to create some problems in the town. And we don't need any more conflict.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments, and I see where you're coming from, but I will say that we took the fines. We gave it an 18-month grace period for any enforcement, but then we took the fines. Those are pretty common fines across the board. When we looked at other lighting ordinances from similar sized towns, those were what were listed. We didn't want to put anything undue, but we still wanted to have a penalty there that raised awareness that this was something enforceable. So I appreciate that. I just wanted to give that little caveat that we did do our homework, and we did look at what other ordinances were looking at for penalties.
I wanted to add on that just a little bit, on the enforcement thing. I understand now everybody, Kevin will be our code officer, will be easy on this, and the town, current town council. But I'm talking 5 years from now, and all new players in the game, and this could be turned against the residents. I see this could be a strong thing the way it's written here.
Okay. That's just then, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly true. Any ordinance can be abused. But I'll say that this was one of the things that when we looked at it in the survey that it was polarizing about penalties. But we did determine that if there was not something under it, then it would not have meaning, but I think it would be instructive if we do decide we're going to send it back to dark skies, what is the feeling about penalties? Should there be one? Is it too high as it is? Does everybody feel it should be higher? Where are we on this?
Well, we'll find out because Jesse's got the answer.
I will say that the last governor and our current governor are both pretty big supporters of dark sky. They, you know, the dark sky tourism is a big thing in West Virginia. It's one of the primary drivers of new tourism in West Virginia. And, you know, we have an opportunity here to take advantage of that. And you know, we can ride that along and be part of that. You know, we're the gateway to West Virginia day and night. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, again, there's with the fines, I think there should be fines, and I think they should be strictly enforced. That said, you know, I think this does a pretty good job of taking the pressure off of residents. There are very few residents in town who are gonna fall outside of this. And this is to ensure that remains that way. It's not to change what we've got, it's to ensure that what we have now remains. And I think that's okay, you know, and I think as time goes on, you know, people will know it's just the way it is here, just like many of our other ordinances.
Kevin.
I I appreciate this ordinance. Back in 2019, Nancy Case and I were working on an ordinance like this, and then of course we kind of got derailed by things that were going on. So I appreciate this, that this has come back to us for consideration. I do know from working on it before how complex a lighting ordinance really is, and that was one of the problems that we had as well, that we felt that it was too complex, but how do you simplify it? It's really difficult to do.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up.
I just had one thing here. We talked about new property or new construction. What's the definition of this upgraded? I can't find it in here. What's the other type of property?
Talking about renovations with significant lighting?
Yes, what's the definition of that?
Or is that 50%?
Because I can't find it in this.
Is it in the glossary?
From the glossary.
But the point is, that needs to be clearer.
Yeah, if you're not finding it, yeah. But we saw either 25 or 50% of the lighting that was going to be changed would make it significant. So.
Chris?
I want to say I have no problem with the enforcement now as it's written. That 18 months seems pretty liberal, especially with a guy like Kevin, you know, who we know goes out and talks to the people and talks about the problem. And after 18 months, if someone hasn't adjusted, yeah, there should be some kind of a fine. Otherwise,
On a fine on a new house, you're saying, and new and or this is to the people now grandfathered in. Are they grandfathered in, everybody, if this passes? So if they put how does the fine work? I don't get it.
So this only applies to permitted projects. So if it's new build or you come in and you're putting an addition on, those are the projects that would potentially create the issue that we're trying to prevent. If you are just changing a light bulb in your fixture, it's not going to apply to that. If you're even just putting up a single light, we talked about this extensively, and everything was on the table at first, and we felt that this would be clear, but it does sound like we need to be more clear if it comes back to us what is subject to this ordinance.
I would like to see, if we're going to send this back to Dark Sky, I would like to send them with a definitive list so they know exactly what to do. So next time this comes, you know, we've got these, you know, they've addressed those specific things and we can move on.
I have written down to provide better clarity and to reduce its complexity and to consider the related feedback from Town Council, which might include how it's going to work with the CEO. To be a little more explicit about it. Now that we have good feedback, we can do that, and to make clear what projects are subject to the ordinance. Were there other things that we have heard that we would want the committee to consider?
Well, one thing that was discussed, and I can relate this back to when I was working on an ordinance like this, the Dark Skies Committee, Nancy and I, back in 2019, did not feel that committee should be permanent because, you know, there are only a certain amount of people in town who want to be on some town body or willing to work on one. So we were going to assign it to the Planning Commission, and I think that's definitely something that we should consider then, is not making Dark Skies Committee a permanent body.
Okay. Thank you. All right, does somebody want to venture a motion for action?
I'll go ahead and move to return the draft ordinance to the Dark Skies Committee to rework Section 7 lighting plan for better clarity and to reduce its complexity and to consider related feedback from Town Council and to make clear what projects are subject to the ordinance.
Okay.
Can I make an amendment there?
Sure.
I would specifically like to refine the fine section to who it applies to and when, the timeline on grandfathering things in, and what exactly does 18 months mean? You know, so after 18 months, do they, I'll let you word it up there.
It's 18 months after the enactment of this ordinance. So it's when the ordinance goes final.
Right, so that means after 18 months, the residents, everyone, would have to be in compliance with the ordinance.
Well, if they're...
But if they're grandfathered.
And not exempt, right. So the applicability's above, right. And then there's that exemption.
Right, so that's what I think needs to be clarified a little bit. I think that's... Christian's point is valid. You know, it's hard to know exactly when, and we can make it less scary. You guys can make it less scary.
Okay, Storm just gave a fake motion. Now he's going to give us a real one.
Well, I'm still working out how to weave in what Jesse brought in, which I think is good.
Okay.
Well, that was my intent, to make clear what projects are subject to the ordinance, but specifically including after the grandfather period has ended. Okay, I'm just going to read the second part.
Oh, and can you do the whole thing?
Sure. Well, I was going to read the second part first, just because the address hadn't changed.
Got it. Okay.
And to make clear what projects are subject to the ordinance, including after the grandfather period has ended. Is that what you were getting at? Okay. Now I'll read the whole thing. I move to return the draft ordinance to the Dark Skies Committee to rework Section 7 lighting plan for better clarity and to reduce its complexity and to consider related feedback from town council, and to make clear what projects are subject to the ordinance, including after the grandfather period has ended.
Right, second on that motion, we've got a second from Jesse. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Karen, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Water Commission, Steve. TWA?
No. Okay. Water was not judged with distinction, unfortunately. 2 weeks ago, but we all had a great time. We're going to try again next year. In terms of some of our numbers, we did estimate bills prior month. We did read, or we're in the process of getting bills out, having read all the meters this month. So I can't really give you the lost, our unaccounted for water. However, what I can tell you, first off, we produced about 5.5 million gallons in February. Now, it's a short month, but still that's a little bit under what we, I think, typically have been producing. I don't have the exact number, but we billed for somewhere around 2.5 million gallons. But again, that was from the estimated month, so that one's a little bit tricky. However, I did look at, and I've talked to you folks before about the practice, if you will, of looking at the drop in the tanks from the period of, I chose from midnight till 5 a.m., so over those 5 hours, making a reasonable assumption that during that time period, most people are not consuming water. So what the tanks drop in that time period, we're not making water. So we're not adding anything to the tanks in that time. So in those 5 hours, as a first order of approximation, that's basically how much water we're leaking out into the ground. So I looked at the last, 3 days recently, and came up with we were losing about 4,000 gallons an hour. I looked at the end of January, and that over a 3 day period to the end of this past January, we were losing about 5,000 gallons an hour. Okay, so that's nice. Going in the right direction. And then I went back and I looked at a year ago, so early last March, this was before we did all the, you know, the phase two, phase one repair work, we were losing about 6,200 gallons an hour. So we've gone from about 6,000 gallons an hour to 4,000 gallons an hour, which means we've reduced our leak rate, according to this rough approximation, by about 33%. Okay, so that's certainly, you know, encouraging in terms of, you know, the work that we've been doing. We are working on the meter project. The primary things to get done first and foremost is to figure out where the collectors. These are two. About 3.5 foot, I'm going to say 3/4 inch white antenna. Where they're going to go, I will be positioning a couple for demonstration purposes up on the top of one of our tanks. We'll get those up tomorrow. And then later in the week, we will be trying to do some simulations for folks to look at. The other location we're hoping to do something would be towards the end of Fillmore Street. And that is largely so that we can cover that end of Harpers Ferry and also get down into Lower Town. All right, so that's where we've got two sites that the folks who are putting the system in have kind of given us as what they think it would be required to get. You know, this is somewhere in the 90 to 95% of our meters read on a 24/7 basis. We have met with that team. We've had a kickoff meeting. We're cleaned up space at the plant so we can begin to receive meters. We've been on this latest round of meter reading. We've been taking a little bit more careful inventory of the condition of our pits, which ones need work. I'll say setters, but that's a technical term for a piece of hardware that the meter sits in. And so we're working on all that. Beyond that, I think you did hear some concerns about serviceability. And that is something that we're actively looking at and working on. I think that's about what I have, unless you've got questions.
Any questions from the council?
I had one, but I answered it myself.
Okay, all right. We did have a leak. Oh, we have been working on a few leaks. We had the leak across the street here on Washington Street. We still have to work on that. That is an old 3/4 inch iron pipe, galvanized pipe. Every galvanized pipe I've dug up since I've been here, I'm going insane. All right, I keep taking them up thinking that I'm going to find one that's in good shape. Every time I dig one up, it looks like Swiss cheese. And that's what we're dealing with across the street here. And we have not identified where it actually ties in. And every time we try to put a coupling on it to get rid of the leak, it springs another one. So rather than chase it all the way down to Union Street, I'm going to actually try to find where it ties into Union Street and then figure out how to, you know, to make that repair once and for all. Well, once and for all until we upgrade, you know, that part of the system. We did take care of a couple of service leaks, one up on Zorga Street, one on Spring Court, and those actually, I think, have given us significant water savings. And also on Spring Court, we were able to identify where our main lies on Spring Court. That was one of the questions we had in the Phase 1 project that caused us to push that project off, that part of the project. And actually, that turned out to be actually really good news. It's right on the edge of the roadway that the town of Oliver has just paved over. so we're not going to be having to make cuts across that roadway. And Green Ridge, you know, looked at the line and they recommended we go back to GDNF and have them evaluate whether or not we would really have to replace the main that's there. We'd still probably have to do the services, but that's what we're preparing, one of the services up there. But that actually could be helpful benefit to, as we put together the puzzle of what we're going to do and what we're going to spend money on.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions for Steve? Okay, update on recruitment and hiring efforts to fill water department vacancies. Who's got that?
I can take that. So the first round of interviews is complete, and we believe we have viable candidates for two positions. We're lining up the second round and looking into methods for background checks. So we had thought it would be a simple thing to do background checks, but most of the major operators do not conduct business in West Virginia. And we expect to wrap up pretty quickly.
Thank you, Storm. Water Commission reports, so they're not there.
I might mention one thing on Water Commission, that one of the main efforts in the last two meetings has been the leak adjustment policy, which is part of the tariff in our water ordinance. But the devil is in the details, and right now those details are all landing on staff. And so there's an effort underway to using some of our neighboring jurisdictions as models to come up with a clear policy that can get out to all the customers. So.
Thanks, Chris. Planning Commission report.
Good evening, Council. Here for the Planning Commission. I actually just want to start off, since I am the Planning Commission representative on the Dark Sky Committee, I would second Kevin's comment that if the enforcement of this does fall to a committee in the future, Planning Commission can handle that pretty well. In fact, for any new construction, which gets into our first item here, any new construction that has a ZCPA, Planning Commission has a duty to help Kevin, the OCO, or CEO, review that. And so for a while, we've been doing that. We don't give approval, Kevin does that, but we just double check things like setbacks, total lot coverage, if there's any utility easements there. And one of the things we also check is these ordinance 1303.4 is the existing lighting plan. And just to clarify, because I wrote that part of the proposed lighting ordinance, copied the language that's already in the ordinances into the new Dark Sky ordinance. So they're one-to-one right now. If changes are requested to the Dark Sky ordinance, it would also likely require changes to 1303. I don't have the number right, but it's been working fine, if that is any consolation. So for the new construction, we, in our February meeting, Planning Commission reviewed for Kevin, CEO, new construction at Putnam and Adam Craven. Everything was great there. And we also heard a request for potential, an initial request for potential development of York Paper Street related to a future deconstruction and construction project there. We're waiting on additional information from the applicant before we move forward on that. Let's see, we had put in a budget request for Planning Commission this year covering some mapping software that we'd like to get to start digitizing some maps and having a good resource that gives all geographic information in one location. Those are the big significant points. I wish I had a comprehensive plan to hand you now. We have heard all additional input has been received by the commission members, reviewed it at our last meeting, but a special meeting, was it last week? Yeah, last Tuesday. So no additional, we're not allowing any additional stuff to be added now, that's closed. The remaining question is a question of clarity. It's been helpful to have the new members of Planning Commission since January. One of them has pointed out that the document is quite large, as with the last comprehensive plan, and it's been a bit difficult to navigate having not been a part of the document's construction. And so the remaining edits are just to clarify which sections link to others. So adding in-text references or potentially reorganizing the text a bit to make it more digestible for when we hand it over. So that's the current delay. I've reached out to but not heard back yet from our consultant at the WVU Land Use Clinic to get her input. She has the final version in a publishing software, and we have a Word document that is not in a publishing software, so there's a bit of a back and forth there to get any even small edits that we're making now into this final version for printing and handing out. So we are meeting regularly. There's a small working group that's meeting regularly to keep this pushing forward, and we're hopeful that by the end of the month we'll have everything finished. I know I've said that before, so just trying to keep you up to date. I don't think there's any updates on like the FEMA floodplain. We're still waiting on the floodplain folks at FEMA to get back to us before we push that forward. I think that's everything we have
to plan. Go ahead, Sean. Do you have an estimate of when you might expect that it would come before council?
The comprehensive plan?
Yeah.
Well, my goal was this month, and it didn't happen. So my goal, unless the way the Planning Commission motioned was to have our consultant give us feedback as to whether the two suggestions on the table right now are to add these in-text references to clarify which. There's a background information section, and then there are goals and action items, is how the document is laid out in seven different focus areas. So to add those in-text citations to link those goals focus areas together would take just a couple weeks, and I think we could have that by April 1st. The other suggestion was to condense the current seven focus areas down to four focus areas, because there is a little bit of overlap. However, some of those focus areas I do believe need to be independent based on state law and state input. So we're waiting on feedback to see how much of that we could or should do. At this point, since it's taken so long, I'm leaning towards not taking a large swing at re-editing and just adding those references, passing it to you, and then if you all have bigger concerns about the structure, that's when we open that can of worms. But waiting to hear back to follow what Planning Commission asks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Discussion action regarding Planning Commission's recommendation to the Town Council on proposed ordinance change to business zoning uses.
Yes, so we took a look at this as well. Thanks for sending that to us just to review. The way the language of that current ordinance stands is that there's a buffer between business or commercial zone property and residential zone property. So the current language is that the buffer is, if you want to have a restaurant on a commercial lot, it has to be, the structure would have to be 25 feet from the property line with the nearest residential lot. We understand that there's a desire for some flexibility there. The recommendation from Planning Commission was, rather than delete the line entirely, consider changing it from 25 feet from the lot line to 25 feet from the nearest residential structure. So what this does is, if you have a commercial lot next to an unbuilt or undeveloped residential lot, there's essentially no restriction to restaurants being used or established at that location. It does then keep the buffer for if you have a residence. So the current logic here is that if you have a residence directly next to a structure in a commercial district and they put in a restaurant, there's additional sound, smells, sights, foot traffic that the current language is attempting to keep a buffer between. So this sort of compromised language allows for some of a buffer, but becomes more lenient, and then there are essentially would be no conflicts with existing restaurants in town. That's the recommendation from planning. I had different recommendations, but that's the one that planning voted for. So, and Jesse can speak more to it.
Yeah, you know, we did discuss this at length, at length is the best way to say it, and the it is a compromise, and I believe it's a good one. You know, it leaves a buffer in place. It doesn't remove all those protections, but it also ensures business continuity for those locations. You know, if the current owners, if their business failed, the location will be able to be used as a restaurant. And, you know, that protects the investment that people have made in those properties for restaurant use. I think it's good.
And just to clarify, any current businesses, no matter what change is made, would be grandfathered in regardless. But it would be if a current business ceases to exist and then a new business, specifically a restaurant, applies for a business license in a couple locations in town, there's a bit of a confusion as to whether or not that would be technically permissible as per the current language. As Jesse said, we thought it was a good compromise.
Kevin.
And so will you be sending that ordinance back to us on an ordinance review committee for next month? Or?
So I don't think Planning Commission has that power. We were just asked by the town council to review the proposed language, which was to, I believe, delete that line. And our recommendation was to edit it as opposed to deleting it, but that's, I think that's a council decision, not a planning decision.
Yeah. So. They asked planning to make just a recommendation.
Okay. Chris.
Yeah, appreciate the work on that. And I move to send that proposed ordinance change back to ORC.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay. Anything else on Amanda?
We can send the exact language that we suggested, if that would be helpful. I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin, you've got that now, right? It's going back to ORC.
Yep.
Okay. Parking, I don't have anything to report. Christian, you?
Yeah. Yeah, let me just, well, I'll be going to that parking meeting tomorrow, see what the park has to say, and other stakeholders, huh?
It's on Wednesday.
I can go Tuesday.
I'm going Wednesday.
You can go Wednesday.
You can go tomorrow.
All right, yeah. I'll be there a little early.
You get the drop on you.
Yeah, I'll get the, I'll be in front row.
Don't need parking, right?
Yeah, plenty of parking. Yeah. So I just want to let the council know that the parking committee is responsible, has taken the responsibility for all signage for traffic safety as well as all our parking signs. And we've been working on this a long time. And we got a little slow. Verlissa is our main cog in the parking committee. So I kind of picked up where she was at. So we're ready to go to the budget thing on the 12th, but we're asking for 232 signs, and we need like 46 poles, posts. We're going to change the whole system, all parking signs and traffic signs. There, many of them are decades old. They're hard to read. A lot of signs are flopped over. The stop signs are way under in size. They're supposed to. We're at least putting them up 6 feet. But we don't even have poles. I have to replace tons of poles because our poles, they're up only 4 feet, most of them. Some
how
three.
Many new signs are there going to be, you know, not counting just the replacing the old stuff? How many new ones is there?
New ones? That's 232 signs.
No, there's going to be 232 more signs? In
no,
count?
No, not more. Oh, no, they're mostly replacements.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly replacements. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. No, we got enough signs. Yeah, the only signs we're probably not going to change are the actual parking signs, but we're going to do the resident permit signs. Those are going to be brand new. You'll see those as the entrances off Washington Street. But most of them are traffic signs. And that's sure. Another thing the council needs to think about what we're going to do with all those old signs. So start thinking about
the
auction.
Yeah, I have one question. The last fall, the council made a decision to get some turtle crossing signs.
Yeah.
We have received those signs.
Oh.
And so when we put those up, do we need to come to you guys to let you know we're putting those up? Because what I don't want is the brand new turtle signs to get taken away or something.
No. We're not taking away
right.
brand
right.
new signs.
All right.
No, it'll be safe.
Okay.
We're going to have to figure out, that's a lot of work. So I don't know how we're going to work this out, but our maintenance man, I don't know.
I'll have tension signs. Put me on the list.
A lot. Well, we're going to relocate some of them. Some are not
in
the right
holes now.
Positions.
I'm talking about switching sounds.
Oh. So that's.
We'll figure that out.
And we do have a problem on Church Street with one of these days. We've got to get through that.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Just one point on parking, as you all head into that meeting on Wednesday, which originally I had hoped to attend, but I'm unable to be there. But Zach and Andrew and I walked recently around Lower Town looking at possible increased bicycle parking, because there were some, as you know, with the things happening at the Byron Bridge, some chance that there will be substantial increase in the bike traffic in town. We're not very far along on that, but I took some pictures and we talked to some ideas. I know Andrew will be there. I just want some of that conversation maybe to be included in the discussion on Wednesday, so that, because I think it's a part of the bigger picture.
Thank you. Treasurer's review and approval financial report. Terry.
Okay, Mayor and Council, we are at 58% of the fiscal year, closing out January 2026. This is still budget revision 4 in the general fund. Our fund balance total of $1.2 million. Brings the budgeted operating income to just over $1.2 million, and our income to date then represents 73% of what has been budgeted according to this revision. Expenses are approximately 64% for the year. Preliminary adjustments to income and expenses are included in the fifth revision that will be used in next month's financials. For waterworks, we are still in the first revision for this budget. Income to reflect maintenance of mains paid from new and replaced funding has been added to income line 471B. Income from water billings is still underperforming against the targeted point in the fiscal year at 50.6%, and expenses are sitting at 51.8%. We will be revising the water budget in March or April to more precisely reflect expenses projected to close out the year. That will include changes in staffing and things like that. Once we have new meters in the ground and a few cycles of data, we can then look towards safely adjusting the income if it is warranted. Questions?
I move to approve the financial reports as presented.
Your second. Second from Chris. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Approval of invoices and purchases. Debbie?
We have the chart, the attachments, invoices, that's on the table. Any specific questions?
Okay. I move to approve the invoices and purchases as submitted.
Your second. Second, Chris. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Thank you, Debbie. Budget and Finance, discussion and action regarding WDA grant and approval of resolution number 17.
Yeah, let's go. So the Gilbert Street contract has been written and sent to the contractor, Green Ridge. They need to establish a bond, and then the notice to proceed can be pursued. And last check, around 10 meter hip crocs need to be replaced. Anything beyond that, to update beyond the resolution?
No.
So we need to read the resolution?
Yeah. I was really hoping to get to the end of this grant and then that would be the end of reading the resolution, but we'll carry on with the rest and be grateful for the money.
You're so resolved.
Resolution number 17 on the town of Harper Ferry, approving invoices relating to construction and other services for water project and authorizing payment thereof, whereas the town of Harpers Ferry has reviewed the invoices attached hereto and incorporated herein by reference in relation to the construction of the water project funded by the West Virginia Water Development Authority, EECG funds, and CNB Bank Construction Trust funds, and funds as follows. One, that none of the items for which payment is proposed have been requested from another source. Two, that each item for which payment is proposed and to be paid is or was necessary in connection with the project and constitutes a cost of the project. Three, that each of such costs has been otherwise properly incurred. Four, that payment for each of the items proposed is due and owing. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Town Council of Harpers Ferry that the payment of the attached invoices as summarized below are hereby authorized and directed. This one only includes one bill to GDNF out of the CMB funds for $2,003. Adopted by the Council of the Town of Harpers Ferry, the meeting held on the 9th day of March 2026.
I move to approve WDA grant resolution number 17 as submitted.
Your second. Second, Chris. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Discussion action regarding water meter CVS project.
The current project, I believe we heard all the updates from the Public Works Administrator, and I used up all my breath during the Dark Skies discussion, so that's it for that one.
Discussion action regarding CVS funding for future years.
I believe you covered that one in your comments, and Deb talked to it as well. Thank you to Senator Capito for supporting our town with its water system.
Number four, discussion action regarding maintenance of mains contracting.
Blessedly quiet right now.
Just waiting on bills for the work that has been done.
Yes.
Okay. Discussion action regarding general fund FY27 budget.
So the next link in putting that together is this Thursday. This Thursday, at the time of all day, we will be sitting down with the various parties that are seeking funds from the town. And then after that, we'll have a meeting the following week to really put the burrito together. And after that, next town council meeting.
23rd of March, town council meeting, 5:30. Lay the levy, April 21. Must have a quorum both days.
Okay, thank you. Discussion action?
On 5:30 on March 23rd, we have not set the time for April 21st, that is a Tuesday.
Those dates are on the convenient timeline that you sent out.
Yes,
they are. They
are
unchanged from the last time.
Yes.
They were published.
Number six, discussion action regarding town website. Storm.
We are continuing to reach out to the website vendor to get that back on track.
Great. Number seven, discussion action regarding Odd Fellows funding.
Yes. So the Odd Fellows had been assigned funding in fiscal year 25 and fiscal year 26, and they got to us at last paperwork for the project that had been approved by town council, and we've been working with them.
For 25?
Yes, for the 25 request. And I moved to approve $1,350 for the Odd Fellows Lodge for previously approved funding out of 906 Historic Preservation, recognizing that they will pursue matching funds and focus on exterior preservation and renovation for future funding requests.
For a second, we have a second. Jesse, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion? Opposed. Motion carries 7-0. ORC, report.
Okay, the Ordinance Review Committee met on Thursday of last week. The committee has been working on three complex ordinance revisions, one of which should come to the council for approval next month. The fourth item, a change of title from Ordinance Compliance Officer to Code Enforcement Officer, is on the council agenda for approval this evening. One new item was considered by the committee concerning expiration of zoning compliance permits. A brief presentation was provided to the committee by Pat Morse on behalf of the OCO. The committee will further review the proposed updates to the ordinance at our next meeting.
Okay, any questions for Ted? First reading ordinance 2026-01, business district uses.
Yes, so this is ordinance number 2026-0. Actually, I'm on the next one. This one, I believe, was added. Shouldn't have been added to this agenda.
Well, okay. We did, but then what was presented, then there was that motion to push it.
Kind of what we acted on earlier with your planning.
So it wasn't on the
list, but number two's taken care of.
Yeah. All right, now you can talk about the code officer.
Okay. So this is ordinance number 2026-02, an ordinance to change the name of the ordinance compliance officer to code enforcement officer.
Move that we approve the ordinance to change the title of code enforcement, ordinance compliance officer to code enforcement officer.
Second, Christian, discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Opposed, motion carries 7-0.
I do like Kevin's new license plate. I noticed he updated the license plate on his vehicle. It's very nice looking.
Thanks, Kevin. IOC, David, you have anything to report?
Just that we haven't met for a while. We're waiting the new hiring of the water plant employees that Storm talked about. I would like permission from the council to basically look at all job descriptions and collate them and make sure we have up-to-date job descriptions, because I think I have in mind that we should streamline our hiring processes, and that's step one in doing that.
Okay. I got no problem, unless you want to put a motion on the floor. Just go for it.
If I don't need a motion, I don't need to do it. I just need to know who I should ask for, like, office job descriptions, and would that be Patty or...
I think there are a couple Debbie. Places, aren't there? Why don't you start with Debbie?
Okay. Do that.
And thanks for taking that on, David. Unfinished business discussion action regarding update of the Columbia Street Gate Beautification Project. Christian and I met for quite a while on this. We kind of have a plan that we're going to put forward to the project coordinator.
Out of curiosity, the Habitat for Humanity truck has been parked up there at the Hilltop site. Does anybody know why?
The what?
The Habitat for Humanity truck has been parked at the Hilltop site.
I wasn't aware.
I didn't know if anybody knew what was up.
They had to have permission from the SWAN organization.
I mean, they're there. Yeah.
Maybe they're emptying that building up there.
discussion action regarding town employee driving policy. There was a draft that was developed, and then the draft was given to Christian Debbie for review. Some good comments were made by both. Changes to the policy, draft policy, have been made, and we'll be bringing it forward soon. So we're making great progress on that.
And David, this will need to be incorporated into the employee handbook. So, and this may be an opportunity to relook at the handbook. If we're going to make a revision, we might as well look at it.
Who owns that document?
Me.
Is it a Word document?
No. And then there's lots of revisions that live on little green post-its.
I can't hear. Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, I took my microphone off. hang on. Oh, geez. It is an editable document. However, there are numerous revisions that have been made since it has been written that exist in many forms, most of them handwritten.
So I guess what do we
I'll send you
we don't have it. It's not an editable form, you said?
Yes, it is. I'll send you what I have.
Okay.
But then we probably should meet about some of the other things that have been added.
With the other hard copies, gotcha.
Yeah.
Hard copies.
And a lot of the notes are really not edits that have been made, but things that we have noticed need to be edited.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Item number. You okay, David?
Yep, we're good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Item number 7: discussion action regarding Old Shipley School. This may require executive session. Council, based upon West Virginia Code 698-4 exemptions from the Open Meetings Act. I want to request that we go into executive session based upon number 9 to consider matters involving and affecting the purchase, sale, or lease of property, et cetera, et cetera.
I so move.
Do we have a second on the motion to go in? We have a second from Jesse. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion to go in executive session. Opposed, motion carries 7-0. We're in executive session at 8:26 p.m.